Welcome. You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials of items read on AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Today's articles are from the June-July edition, 2026. The Magic of St. Michael's by Caitlin Yarborough Saddick. With a tight-knit community of around 1,000 residents, this coastal Maryland town is keeping the region's water traditions alive, one sail at a time. Sailors clad in colorful team jerseys hurry across the St. Michael's Marina, hopping onto decks and setting off into the waves. The sun hangs high like a yoke suspended in the summer sky, and a telltale wind ensures a good showing at the final Saturday competition of the season. We're here to watch log canoe racing, a Maryland sport that goes back generations. Growing up, I would hitchhike to wherever the races were happening each weekend and get a spot on the crew, remembers Terry Gribe, an Eastern Shore native who leads our spectating crews. We're aboard the Patriot, a 1930s-style steamboat that provides the closest views of the action, following the participating fleet along an intricate course on the Miles River. A volunteer at the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum, he weaves the region's past into his commentary on the suspense-filled event. It's something that relatively few people in the world have ever done, says Greep, and they all share a real love for it. Adapted from the Native American dugout vessels, log canoes were made to suit fishermen who relied on speed to receive the best pay for their catches. For centuries, these historic ships with timber mast soaring 50 feet high have been built from trees felled in the forest on the edge of town. At one time, it was estimated that there were 6,000 or more of them in the area. Today, only a handful still participate in the races, to the tangible pride of the locals who pack into their own boats to cheer on friends and family. In order to keep the lightweight watercraft from heeling over completely, crew members frantically scurry back and forth onto planks that are suspended out above the water on each side, rising and falling like seasick seesaws. We watch anxiously as someone always seems imminently close to falling overboard in the flurry, and the boats lean so far toward the waves that I'm sure they'll topple. Sometimes they do, Grebe tells us, though luckily today there are no such dramas. One team safely takes the win. There are trophies, but I'm sure that everyone would keep right on racing if there were none, he says. Smooth sailing. A sleepy coastal village on Maryland's eastern shore, St. Michael's was established in the 1600s and flourished as a shipbuilding hub that earned the nickname "The Town That Fooled the British" during the War of 1812. Legend has it that the residents snuffed out their candles and strategically hung lanterns high in trees around the community so the enemy would think the buildings were on a hill and the cannons would miss their targets in the early morning darkness. This clever ruse thwarted the late summer naval attack. You could say it sparked a strong patriotic streak, one that can still be seen each Independence Day, with fireworks, a parade, and decked-out porches and docks. It is also where abolitionist Frederick Douglass lived in enslavement before he escaped, going on to become a courageous civil rights writer and orator. His sister's cottage still stands on the grounds of the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum, where you can take a guided tour of the exhibits, check out the shipyard, and watch expert boat builders crafting the old school way by hand. Today, St. Michael's cobblestone streets and clapboard homes are steeped in history, and its residents herald the region's century-strong water heritage. Boating is in our blood here, says Captain Jason Pinter, an Annapolis native who has more than 25 years of experience and manages the maritime program at the inn at Perry Cabin in St. Michael's. It's one of the few places where true sailing, totally at the mercy of the wind, is still prevalent and passed down. He oversees a fleet of 7 vessels on the property, offering every sort of outing, including sunset tastings with locally based Lion Rum, oyster dredging excursions with a selection of your own to be enjoyed right there on the deck, and longer tours around the Chesapeake Bay. There is even a 3-day sailing course for those who feel particularly inspired. Taking advantage of its waterfront grounds on the Miles River, the inn at Perry Cabin presents the area's most prized attribute to its guest on an Adirondack chair lined hydrangea-framed planter. Many visitors have never even been on a sailboat before. I love seeing the wonder on people's faces when we put the sails down and turn off the engine, says Pinter. To have this much natural abundance in our backyard is something special. Tide to Table. Beyond racing accolades, St. Michael's is also known for its wealth of summertime bounty, an overflow of coastal flavor that's awaited all year. With blue crab season underway, along with a plentitude of native fish and shrimp coming to shore each morning, restaurants fill their menus with whatever is brought to the marina. A no-frills, family-owned seafood operation that has been serving dockside meals for over 60 years, and gear up with wooden mallets and disposable gloves for a first-timer feast. I'm able to quickly track who the true Marylanders are by the eyebrow-raising number of crabs they order for their tables. We watch the countless ceremonial dumpings of Old Bay Seasons crustaceans, which land atop the plastic tablecloths with clattering thuds before each party dives into their respective heap. We less confidently follow their lead in cracking open shells, pulling out tender crab meat, and dipping pieces in provided vats of butter and vinegar. Amid blessedly cool breezes afforded by being on the water, our butter-dripped chins and shell-speckled plates, we're a proud bunch, jokes Pinter. Seasonality takes a different route at the Roos, the Wild Set Hotel's in-house restaurant that's spearheaded by James Beard Award semifinalist Chef Michael Carell. Locally sourced ingredients from oysters to tomatoes are dressed up to highlight the state's foodways. The 34-room spot was opened in 2021 by sisters Allie Boleyn and K.C. Lager, reviving a cluster of 4 historic buildings on Talbot Street. It's within walking distance of a string of shops, eateries, and events, like the annual 4th of July parade. The town felt so preserved in time, and having such a tight-knit community made me want to stay, says inn manager Brian Ball, who moved to St. Michael's from West Virginia about 15 years ago. The tiny hamlet has grown to be a welcoming hideaway for city dwellers coming from bustling spots such as Baltimore, Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia, which are all just a few hours away. Summer is when people come looking for nostalgic escape and a nice breeze, he says, and they'll find it here. Among the sailboats bobbing in the harbor and the picnic tables buckling under crab claws, it's an Eastern Shore promise. South by Southwest. Feed a crowd for breakfast with this cheesy Tex-Mex casserole. Breakfast, burrito, casserole. Active 20 minutes. Total 45 minutes. Serves 8. 1 16-ounce jar medium salsa. 1 15-ounce can black beans drained and rinsed. 2 cups refrigerated shredded hash browns from 1 20-ounce package. 1 half cup thinly sliced scallions. 2 teaspoons chili powder. 1 3/4 teaspoons kosher salt divided. 12 large eggs. 1/3 cup sour cream. 1/2 teaspoon black pepper. 2 tablespoons unsalted butter. 2 cups shredded sharp cheddar cheese divided, 8 8-inch flour tortillas, chopped tomatoes, avocado, and fresh cilantro. Step 1. Preheat the oven to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. Pour the salsa into a 13-by-9-inch baking dish. Step 2. Toss the black beans, hash browns, scallions, chili powder, and 1 teaspoon of the salt in a large bowl until well combined, then set aside. Step 3. Whisk together eggs, sour cream, pepper, and 3/4 teaspoon of the salt in a separate large bowl until smooth. Melt the butter in a large nonstick skillet over medium heat. Then add the egg mixture and cook, stirring constantly until slightly thickened, about 5 minutes. Stir in 1 cup of the cheese. Then cook until the eggs are just set into soft curds, about another minute. Remove from the heat. Step 4. Working with 1 tortilla at a time, place on a clean work surface. Spoon 1/3 cup of the egg mixture and 1/2 cup hash brown mixture down the center of each tortilla. Roll up tightly and place each burrito seam side down on top of the salsa in the prepared baking dish. Sprinkle the burritos evenly with 1 cup of cheese. Step 5. Bake until the burritos are lightly browned around the edges and the salsa is bubbly, 18 to 20 minutes. Remove from the oven and top with tomatoes, avocado, and cilantro. Pick a pattern. Celebrate America's 250th birthday with a quilt-inspired pie by Alana Alhotlani. All over the South, from storied artists like G's Bend Quilters to talented home crafters, folks have been turning fabric scraps into heirlooms for centuries. This dessert follows suit, using dough to form familiar and delicious patterns. To make a pie like our photo, see the Bake the Look box above, or piece together your own design using triangles, squares, diamonds, or free-form shapes. There are no rules. Just let creativity be your guide. Patchwork pie. Active 15 minutes, total 2 hours, 10 minutes, plus 2 hours standing. Serves 8. 3 9-inch refrigerated pie crust from 2 14.1-ounce packages. Softened per package directions. 1/3 cup all-purpose flour, plus more for the work surface. 1 cup granulated sugar. 1/2 teaspoon ground cinnamon. 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. 1 tablespoon grated lemon zest, plus 1 tablespoon fresh juice from 1 lemon divided. 5 cups mixed berries, such as blueberries, blackberries, and raspberries. Step 1. Preheat the oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Stack 2 pie crust on a lightly floured work surface. Roll into a 12-inch round. Fit the dough inside a 9-inch pie plate, pressing firmly into the bottom and up the sides. Fold overhang under to form a crust edge and crimp as desired. Freeze until firm, about 20 minutes. Step 2. Meanwhile, place remaining pie crust on a lightly floured work surface. Using a paring knife or a square cookie cutter, cut out the desired quilt pieces. Place on a parchment-lined baking sheet and freeze while par-baking the crust. Reserve the remaining dough scraps for another use. Step 3. Line the frozen pie crust with parchment. Fill with pie weights and bake 20 minutes. Remove the weights and parchment. Return the pie crust to the oven and bake until the bottom appears dry, about 5 minutes. then set aside and let cool. Step 4. Remove the quilt pieces from the freezer. Cover with more parchment and top with a second baking sheet to help the pieces hold their shape. Bake 10 minutes. Remove the top baking sheet and the parchment, then return to the oven and bake until the tops are lightly browned, 3 to 5 minutes, then let them cool. Step 5. Reduce the oven temperature to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. Stir together sugar, flour, cinnamon, salt, and lemon zest in a large bowl. Add the berries and lemon juice, then toss gently to combine. Let it stand, stirring often, until the berries release their juices, about 15 minutes. Then spoon the filling into the crust. Step 6. Bake until the filling is bubbly and thickened, about 1 hour, shielding the edges as needed to prevent overbrowning. Remove from the oven and let it stand until mostly cooled, but still warm, about 2 hours. Arrange the quilt pieces bottom side up on top of the pie in the desired pattern. We have come to the end of our program. I'm Joyce Davis, and I will be back soon.